Good morning to you here in this congregation and to you out in radio land. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Brother Herman Gale, your speaker. We're glad that everyone is tuned in, glad you're here, and may this be an hour when the Lord will be merciful unto us, give us His message, and that our blessed Lord will be honored and glorified. Our Father, this morning we thank You again for Thy mercies that endure forever. Thank Thee for Thy faithfulness and Thy watch care over Thy people. Oh, Thy grace that keeps us, Thine eyes that lead us, Thy precious blood that washes us from all of our sins, that relationship we have with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the comforting of the Holy Spirit to direct us and take the things of Christ and reveal them to our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou art our salvation, and indeed we put our trust this morning and rest at Thy feet. Lead us and guide us in this service. For Christ's sake we ask it in His name. Amen. Now let's everybody get our hymn books and sing number 332. We have an anchor for the soul. Now let's sing that one. Let me read this to you. Wherefore, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, which is the Word of God and the covenant, two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope. And what is that hope? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And there he is. The anchor of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, within the veil. And he's a strong anchor. One day I fled to him for refuge. I found him. He is my refuge this morning. And he's the anchor of my soul. And he's within the veil this morning, praying for us, making intercession for the saints. I rejoice in that. Because if I knew that he wasn't praying for me, I'd be most miserable. I'd fail completely. But because I know it, now how do I know it? How do I know it? As the high priest was behind the veil, how did the people know that he was alive? Huh? They heard the ringing of the bells that he was performing his priestly office. And my Lord, he's within the veil. He's performing his priestly office. How do I know it? I can hear the ringing of the bells. He's the anchor. He's my anchor this morning. Let's sing the next one. Praise the Lord for that anchor this morning. And we're happy to be with you. Now, we have a request here about some blood. Now, as you know, our pastor, before he died, now, where's my little note here? I never knew this. It was amazing to me. 32 pints of blood they had to give him. Yes. I see. How many pints to give? 16. And we have to replace 32 pints of blood. Or else someone's going to have to pay for it. Now, I don't know how many of us can give blood this morning. But this is the information I have here. You can go to any recognized hospital blood bank and to give this blood, a pint. And then if you do give the blood, if you're able to, you receive a ticket from that blood bank made out to and credited to the South Jefferson General Hospital and in the name of Reverend L.R. Shelton, because it's going to be towards the blood that he gave, that was given unto him. Now, I think Brother Behan has the information, and if anyone here feel like you can give blood, see Brother Behan, or out in Radio Land in the missions, is going to take 32 pints of blood. And if anyone can help in that cause, it would save us an extra amount of money. So we will really and truly appreciate it. Now, if you do give blood, I have the address that you can return that ticket. Am I saying all this right, Brother AJ? I don't know. Now, the ticket you get from the blood bank, you return it to Radio Mission, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. And I hope that there's a large response unto this, for this cause. Now, there was a time I used to give blood, and I gave it until I can't give any more. And I could. But if you can, we would surely appreciate it. And now for the information, if you wanted, maybe you didn't get it just right, see Brother Behan in the back there, and he'll give you the information that you'll need. The Lord has laid a message on my heart this morning. He's been dealing with my heart with through the week. Ever since last week, when our pastor departed to be with the Lord in a much better place, and that's the hope of every believer. And I can say with the Apostle Paul this morning that I'm between the two. I'm betwixt between the two. I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. I would that it would have been me instead of my pastor. But that was not God's will for any of us. And we can always say, "Thy will be done." But since last week, and as we've seen so many things that have beset us, so many things that have come before us, so much opposition. You know, I praise the Lord that He does not go off and leave His people comfortless. And I say that with all sincerity this morning. If I knew by our pastor's home going that the Lord was going to go with him and leave us, I guess I'd be the most miserable individual living today. Because once an individual is saved and has come to taste that the Lord is gracious and known the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become his heart, his life, his everything, to take Christ away from the believer means that believer will die. It will die. And you've heard people saying, especially when the husband's wife has departed, they have sunken to despondency, discouragement, because she, as it were, was his life. But our Lord has not left us. And I praise him for it. He's still dealing with our hearts and still leading us as he has before. Now, what directions? I don't know all the ins and outs. But I know that he's with us. And he's still the same Savior who still saves sinners. That will be no change. There will be no change there. And if you're a sinner, Christ is here this morning to save you, watching over you, protecting you. Now, Paul told us somewhat, some things, that what we can expect when a true shepherd of the Lord is gone. It's for our admonition. It's for our learning and for our instructions. Some things we're going to speak about this morning. And I've been pondering over some thoughts this week, because we are being troubled on all sides, but we're not despair. If my hope was in man, I'd despair. If my hope was just in the church this morning, in a religious surrounding, I would despair quickly. I would throw up my hands. But since the Lord called me to salvation back in 1952, showed me what I was, who I am, who He is, in reality to my soul, called me to walk with Him, and as Paul the Apostle said, to reveal His Son in me, I knew for the first time in my heart and life, reality. And I knew I had someone leading me and guiding me and directing my path that was not man, of my own making. And He's brought us through the years, kept us, sustained us, kept us from turning away when others were crying for us. When we're seeing many turn away, that was enough cause for discouragement. But still and all, I praise the Lord that my hope did not rest in any one of these individuals that have turned away from the truth, that have turned away from this gospel. But what it did encourage me all that much more. And it made me more and more come to the place to where I was able to say that this is the right way. This is the Lord's way. This is the way of hope and not discouragement and not hopelessness. Now, you and I have seen through the years many who have come and gone. Some of our dear loved ones, some of our kinfolks, some that we thought were saved, but have turned against the truth, turned against this gospel, the Christ that we lifted up and magnified and glorified, and now have become bitter enemies against this gospel, this church, and against God's people. But in all turn, they're against Him who set it upon the throne. And I know that Wednesday night, when everything seemed to be down here after our pastor's death, the thoughts that struck me, that little song that took hold of me, God is on the throne. He cares for His own. And everything was going to be all right. He was going to take care of things. The same protection He gave us with our pastor here, He's going to give us that same protection. That we don't have to fear anything. Walk with the Lord, who is our hope, who is our strength. He's our comforter. He delights in us, and we delight in Him. And He ever grows precious, day by day. Now I want us to turn to the second chapter of Corinthians, and the second Corinthians, 11th chapter. In that 12th verse of the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in the 12th verse, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them who desire occasion, that in that which they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now, Satan has ministers. They're ministers, not ministers of the gospel, but ministers of Satan, transforming themselves as angels of light, whose end shall be according to their works. And then if you will turn over to Acts, the 20th chapter. In that 24th verse of the 20th chapter of Acts, "But none of these things moved me, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. "Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." And our beloved pastor, who's gone on to be with the Lord, he has, God's acquitted him. He is freed from the blood of all men. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now look at that 28th verse. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." Now listen what the Apostle Paul is saying here. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now what he means by that? Grievous wolves. And with that word grievous goes the meaning of wicked individuals, are cruel individuals, wicked individuals. And that's what the Lord calls them. They're grievous. You know, you ever see a wolf? The picture of a wolf? With those teeth, that teeth sticking out there and ready to devour and to attack. The fierceness. Dangerous individuals. For us to be on our guard against wicked or cruel individual. Now he goes on to say, he says, "entering among you, not sparing the flock." And I hope that hits a striking sound in your heart. And that has been the occasion after every God-sent servant, that after they departed to be with the Lord, there were always some people who were trying to get in. Get in and take the upper hand. And so the Apostle Paul knew what would happen to the church. And as we know this church, as Dr. Copeland told us the other night, that this is a New Testament church. And a New Testament church can expect persecution, sufferings, trials, opposition, in all manners, all forms, no matter how it might take itself. You can expect it. I face the situation. I'm constantly facing it. That there might be times when they'll be so cruel and grievous that they'll gnash upon you with their teeth as they did to Stephen when they ran upon him with stones to shut his mouth. They were cut to the heart for the testimony of this ministry, for the testimony of this church, of a New Testament church, who exalts and magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ and dethrones the sinner in repentance and exalts to Christ. What would you think if a couple of people would come up here, proud, intellectual, learn it, they know everything. What kind of a people do you think you'll have? Nothing but a proud intellectual, learned, nothing but the wisdom of the world, satisfying the world, getting the applause of the world. But this church, this ministry, was not founded upon those principles. The foundation of this ministry is Christ. And let's exalt Him. Let's dethrone man where they belong, in the dust, as His footstool. That's where I want to remain, as His footstool. And I want to make the best footstool that the Lord has. So that the Apostle Paul tells us to be on the lookout. The most amazing thing that I've witnessed by some of our own folks at the funeral of our dear pastor. And the Lord told me to speak this. Is to see some of our members of our congregation giving ear, creaking up, lapping up words from the mouths of those that hate the truth. And they say they're saved or they want to get saved. But they have had their ears filled with rotten things, slander, garbage. Now, you don't think God's people weren't aware of it. Or I wasn't aware of it. And God wasn't aware of it. He said, go out there and warn them. Because pretty soon, they will not be one of us either. They're going to believe a lie, just like these have believed a lie. And unless the mercies of our Lord, the grace of our Lord intervenes, they're gone. They're gone. Forever and forever. Because there comes a time when you can pass the deadline. Now we know that God only knows that. And they will still be around you. They'll still be looking for an ear to pour their filth into, all their trash and garbage. Now are you going to listen? I saw one of our mission leaders give an ear to all that garbage. I said, how in the world can an individual who says he's saved, he's preaching the gospel, be defending that which these are trying to tear down and listening to a lot of stuff? Just can't do it. You can't do it. Now, that individual, he's either saved and is walking out of the will of God, and he's allowed himself to be caught in something. And if he is there, the Holy Spirit is not going to let him there. And if it doesn't come out, if he still continually does that, that's a sure sign that individual is not saved. Because listen, folks, when God saves you, He does something for you. You walk with Him. How do you walk? You walk in truth. You don't walk in error. The Holy Spirit never leaves you believe an error. You may believe it yourself at times, but He'll not let you linger in that error and stay in that error without revealing the truth to your heart. And if He does, and you're saved, you're going to come bleeding, you're going to come crying, you're going to come repenting, and you'll never understand why you ever allowed yourself to get caught in such a fix. Now, that was an opportunity for them. And you know who I'm talking about. They dealt with your sympathy, and they thought that this was a good time to get at you. And so, but the Lord showed me something now. Sympathy is fine. That's wonderful. But through that sympathy, you're overcome with their conversation and taken in. That's bad. Now, there comes a time when, even though in our sympathy, in our mourning, we've got to keep our eyes alert. We've got to scan the horizon and look about us and take the admonitions and take the warnings of God's Word, because that's the proper time that these people here, the Apostle Paul is talking about, is going to come in. They're going to deal upon our sympathy. I cried, I wept, I mourned. I did, as you did. But I didn't get my head down so low the way I couldn't see up. But the Lord is going to clear things. The Lord is not going to let those people get in here. I know what their purpose is to overthrow this work. Now, I've been elected here as interim pastor. That doesn't mean I'm pastor of the church. I can only talk about those things I see. But whoever God's man is for this church as the pastor, he's going to lead that pastor. I don't care who it is. A God-called man. And he's going to have my support and my backing as much as I back my pastor who's going on the glory. And every redeemed individual is going to back that individual. And every individual who wants to be saved is going to back that individual. And that's true. Now, the Apostle Paul said, he says now, in that 30th verse of 20th chapter of Acts, also of your own selves shall men arise, of your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Ah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, I'm praying for you. You know, you're my people. And we've got some members of our pastor's family. And that's the way they've been going around. You're my people, you know. And I'm your friend. And you know something? They're even trying to get somebody on the board. They're trying to get somebody on the board to work through that board so they can get a higher position on that board, the board of trustees, so they can work in here and appoint somebody the way they want and cause all kind of strife and dissension in here. They might think we're not aware of it. They may think God is dead. They might think the Holy Spirit is going off somewhere. But He hasn't. I think we ought to elect this so-and-so. The Lord blocked that. So they're going to use all types of means to get in here. But he says he's speaking perverse things, crooked things, things that are not true. I'll tell you something else. At the memorial service up in Sardis Baptist Church, I had one of my dear friends, who used to be my very good friend, come to me. And a member of our pastor's family,
one of his sons poured a lot of garbage into his ears all about what Dr. Copeland said over here and how he preached against the family and how he preached against this and preached against that. He preached them all into hell. And he came to me, the service. He said, I want to ask you something. Means I was a good friend of his. He says, I want you to watch Dr. Copeland and don't let him speak against my kinfolks here, my family. And if he does, I want you to cut him off. I just ran back and I said, now look. I said, the message that Dr. Copeland gets, he gets it from the Lord God of glory. And I'm not going to stop it. I can't stop it. Yes, this very person called Dr. Copeland a liar. Called him a liar. That's exactly. He said, you preached a lie. Well, that's just the same as if you said you were a liar. Now, I'll tell you, he wasn't calling Dr. Copeland a liar. The Lord revealed that to me. I walked away from there. I said, Dr. Copeland, I said, is it possible that this individual is past feelings? He says, could be. I said, then, if he's past feelings, then he has to believe a lie, huh? Yes, he has to believe a lie. Well, do you know that a person who believes a lie, God says they're reprobates. God says they're reprobates to where they can't believe the truth but believe a lie. Now here's what has happened when he called Dr. Copeland a liar. You remember the scriptures there? It says that every sin that man commits will be forgiven except the sin against blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And what was he doing there? He was calling the Holy Spirit a liar. Because he was delivering the message that the Holy Spirit gave him. And in his unsaved state, his reprobate state, he could do nothing but call God's message a lie and call the Holy Spirit a lie. So you see the place where he's in. Listen, don't mess with God's people. Don't mess around with God's message. Whether you believe it or not, be careful how you address that man and things you say. Because the Word of God says, touch thou not my anointed, and that doesn't mean to manhandle him. You can speak words that'll against him. And you're touching him through words. Nor do any harm unto him. And I went away, my heart was cut. I said, how can a man like that talk about a humble man like Dr. Copeland, a great man of God, a giant as I call him in this religious world, to say things like that? But that's the type of people that we are going to have to face and live up and live in reality with them. Because, and not with them, but that the reality of this situation and what they're around us for what purpose? He says, just like he says, they're gonna arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And if they draw you away, I know you have believed their lie. Just like Many have been drawn away and believe their lie. They want this church. They want this pulpit. They want this pulpit. Now, are we going to allow them to enter in here? Are we going to side in them, with them? I'm not. It might be my very blood. But I can't deny the truth. I cannot deny the gospel. I cannot. I cannot deny Him, my Lord. And neither can you if you're saved, or if you want to be saved. You'd make a definite stand. No siree, this is where I stand. And like Luther said, when I saw that title on his book, "Here I stand." Stand where? You're standing yourself? No, you cannot. Stand in the grace of God. Be strong, like the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy. Be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. A good soldier you don't have any trouble with. It's those wishy-washy individuals. You don't know where they're going, how they stand. That's the one you have trouble with. But be a good soldier in the Lord's army, because you got a great captain. The captain of our salvation. We got a strong refuge. And when they come to you, don't fall, don't crumble. They can't hurt you. Stand there in the power, in the strength of our Lord. Give them your testimony. Of the grace of God and what He's doing for you and what He has done for you, and that you want to be saved. And you know, if you leave this gospel lighthouse, there may never be any more hope. But that's what He says. He says, now, therefore, watch. Look at that 31st verse in that Acts, the 20th chapter. Watch. And remember that for the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so that was our pastor for years and years and years, warning you not to turn away, warning you to turn to Christ. Turn to Him, the only one that can save you, the one that has saved me, and I know He can save you, redeem you with His precious blood, and give you a good standing, a right standing, robe you and dress you in His righteousness. And then you know what the gospel of peace is. I praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord that we can look to Him and trust Him in hours like this. These false apostles are teachers. They speak well, don't they? They certainly do. And they spoke well in Paul's day. They ever appeared to be like real servants of Christ, and they do. They do. They put on a big front. And they talk like someone who's a servant of Christ. They quote scriptures and they talk about all kind of things. Yes, they appeared. They also appeared to be upright, no harm, just a gentleman. But you know what the Lord says? They're full of dead men's bones. They are corrupt in themselves. And the way of righteousness they have not known. They have the salvation after their own making. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of it is death. But God's way is life. They speak so graciously and eloquently. Oh, yes. Pat you on the back, everything. But be on the lookout for them. They're not one of us. Paul, the Apostle John says, at one time they were of us. But now he says they're not of us. And they have gone away from us. And now we're able to see exactly where they stood before. I'm saying these things to you who might have been beguiled or careless that you will not listen to them. They are enemies of the gospel. I know what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I know its power. They are strangers to it. They know nothing about the grace of God, only what they can get. They know nothing about the love of God, only to gain their own end. And be able to say, now we've accomplished our purpose, and now we're all right. Everything's going to be okay from here on out. But fight the good fight of faith. They could be very attractive, whether as a man or woman. Second Peter, the second chapter. If you'll turn over, we've got a few minutes left, and you listen. And I'll let you go. Now, I put myself into this battle with you. And I'm sure they're listening out there. They know where I stand. There's no compromise with the gospel. There's no compromise with your soul. You're either for Christ or you're not for Him. You're against Him or you're for Him. You're for the world or you're for Christ. There's no compromise. The gospel does not compromise at all. There's a dividing line. There's the many decisions you have to make. The gospel is one thing and one thing only. Christ died for sinners according to the Scriptures. He was buried and risen again according to the Scriptures. But you'll never know that gospel until the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart and brings you down the way of Holy Spirit conviction and brings you low to where you're so humble, you're so broken, that you gladly receive it. Receive Christ. But in the second chapter of 2 Peter, we read that first verse. And what do we read? But there were false prophets among, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, shall they feign words, strange words, feign words, make merchandise of you. And that word feign, it means to invent fictitiously or deceptively, twist the truth. And through covetousness, they shall with feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. And then you go on and read that chapter there, and make your head spin in your head if you weren't in Christ. And see how close individuals can come in believing a lie. And going back, especially sinners who have been under the preaching of the gospel here, who have heard the testimony of the Lord, of saving grace, of blood redemption, and then for a time, endure for a time, and then draw back. Paul said it's just like a dog returning to his vomit and a hog wallowing in the mire. Going out with a reformation, cleaning up their lives, becoming very religious, instructive, intellectuals. Thinking there's somebody come. And they're right, and everybody else is wrong. And that's the type of people Peter and Paul are speaking here. But I praise the Lord. He's left us aware. He's kept us aware of these things. And let me tell you again, He has not left us. He's not going to leave us. He's on the throne. He cares for His own. And so, let's walk with Him. Let's keep our eyes, keep ourselves alert, and watch out who it is. Now remember the gospel that was preached to you. Like Paul says, now, those things that you have learned, now don't let them slip from you. Those things that brought you to Christ, remember them. Those things that you have been awakened, don't let anybody turn you away from them. Like Paul says, another gospel that you have not learned here. Oh, I praise the Lord that He saved me. I praise the Lord for His grace. My life is not mine own. It belongs to Him. He bought me with a price, with His precious blood. And I wouldn't exchange anything in the world. I don't care what anybody says for what I have. I wouldn't exchange anything in the world. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take it. I don't want it. And like that song says, turn your eyes unto Jesus. Turn your eyes unto Him. And the things of this world will grow so dim in the light of His presence as you look into His face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His face as you look to Christ. My friends in Radio Land, we're coming to the close of another hour when the Lord has been with us. I brought God's message. And may the Lord, in His mercies, lead you to repentance, grant you faith, that you might believe on Him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believeth on me, he shall not see death. He shall not see death. He shall live forever and ever. May God bless you and keep you and lead you through this week to look to Him. Goodbye. That I am what I am because of His grace. And what I said this morning, as the Lord laid it upon my heart and gave me the words to speak, I make no apologies whatsoever. I only hope that some of you will get your eyes open . The Lord will open your eyes. You'll be enabled by His Spirit to look to Christ, who we love, whom we serve. I'm glad you came this morning. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I need your backing. Your support. I praise the Lord that He's put me right here. I did not covet this job. Like I told you at the Bible school of the air, a job like this is, it tries your very soul. You shut alone with the Lord, shut up with Him. And truly what Dr. Copeland said, you walk alone. Misunderstood, nobody understands you. Nobody knows the heartaches, the tears. As the individual whom God has thrust to the forefront, the responsibility
that if I continue here at the end of my ministry, whatever it might be, I'll be able to stay with the Apostle Paul. I am free from the blood of all men. And I have not compromised the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that I continually kept him before you, because there is no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. There is no other one, no other name. There is no other way of salvation. And you young people, I wish you understand my love for you. You might think I don't like you, because many times I might seem to you like I'm mad. But oh, if I could just if you only knew my heart this morning, every one of you, how the Lord has broken it and melted it and gave me love and compassion there, taking away the hate and the strife and the malice and the slander and the critical spirit like so many are walking around here with. We have a man in our presence who's been preaching to you, teaching you. I've talked to him this week. I've heard nothing but bitterness, nothing but complaining, nothing but murmuring. But what? I'm satisfied to be in Christ. Whether I ever be able to preach a message, or whether I ever be able to be an office worker, or whether I ever be able to be anything in the church, I'm satisfied and content. The Lord just sit me down in that pew, just like you all, and just hear the gospel. I'm just as satisfied. And then the thing that I have to deal with men like that, with a man like that, I really don't know what to say. I don't know how to explain things, because I don't know. I do not know what to expect. And I talk so tenderly to him, but he's going around murmuring, complaining. Was a part of this work, but there's something wrong there for that man. I hope he straightens out. But let's labor and work and walk together. Like I said often, as I told the people at the mission in Picayune, let us walk together in the unity of the Spirit, with our hearts cleared, receptive only for the Lord. In the unity of the Spirit, the bond of love, with no criticism, no malice there, no jealousy. Ask God to thrust it out of your heart, and He'll do it. He'll put there what He's put in my heart, love. Love. And like the Apostle Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. And that's true. You pour your heart out to somebody, and you warn people, and you do it because you love them. Now, we could compromise the gospel and everything else and tell you everything's all right. Let's go and have a good time. We'll change the order of everything. And we'll just make this church now a little different. Then we'd be compromising. And if I were to do that, it'd be a sign I'm not saved. But I can't do it. You can't compromise. You may not know how to use the language, but I can't compromise. And like the pastor said over and over again, it's either Christ or hell. That's all there's to it. That's all. And may God bless you people and lead you and guide you and keep your hearts clean before Him. And we can walk one with another in fellowship with Christ, in Christ, walking together for our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You see?
That's where our true fellowship is. Find your fellowship there, and then we'll have no trouble.
We thank you for coming this morning, and may the God of all grace lead you and guide you, is my prayer. Amen. You're dismissed. May God bless you.